of Cool Games, Inc. It's a video game design podcast from Polygon, the Vox Podcast Network. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
And let me tell you about video games. This is a great way to beat the heat. This summer, everybody needs to stay inside. It's too fucking hot out there.
Maybe cool off with some Cool Games, Inc. podcast
cool
for you.
Cool off with Cold Games, Inc. It's a new cold video games design podcast from Polygon and the Cold Podcast Network. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I go outside and I get so hot and sweaty and sandy. I went to the beach last weekend and it was... you know, fun, but also, like, I get sand in my bung, and it's like, why didn't I just stay home with some cold games?
Yeah, there's no threat of sand on your couch. Maybe crumbs, but that's
maybe
about
some
it.
Crumbs from all the great snacks
maybe
I'm
some,
having.
Maybe
I'm
some crumbs in your bung could
maybe
happen.
Maybe crumbs in my bung. I mean, that would necessitate a pretty wild snack attack. But
I think it depends on the food, right? If you're eating something crummy and you're taking a big bite out of it, yeah, the blast radius could be. I've been known to find food crumbs all over the place when I take a big bite.
I'm at home, and I'm playing Sonic Colors on the DS on the couch with a big bowl of snack next to me. I'm not going to get any fucking sand in my bung. And that's all there is to it. So if you want to weigh games versus beach, I don't think there's a fucking argument to be made. That
no.
You're going to the beach next week, and I hate to take the wind out of your sails, because you and
you're kind
of
bumming
family,
me out.
You might actually go sailing. I don't know. I'm just saying you're going to be out there, sand every which way in the bung. I'm gonna be at home playing Sonic Colors, cool as a cucumber. Cold
and I'm
as
pretty
a
sure Sonic Colors has a beach level in it, so you're getting the best
that
of both
one.
Worlds.
I enter in the cheat code to zip right through.
So
it.
You don't like it, even fictional. You don't want to see any beaches under any circumstances.
I fucking hate it. When I hit that point in the Persona games, I just tap X and look away.
Hmm. You just and when you get to the beach episode, you just
I just
X,
fast
X, 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 X.
Forward through it because like. I'm not in it. Stresses me out. I think about how the characters are like trying to fight off the apocalypse and collect all the personas and marry each other or whatever. They don't need to worry about bung sand, so I skip it. Yes, I fast forward it every time.
How do you know when to stop? Like, do you have your wife watch you fast forward and then she's like, oh, stop, it's back at the...
That was in our vows. She promised she would.
That's very
do that.
Sweet.
Yeah. Our wedding... You weren't invited, but
yeah,
it was like 4 hours long because we got so like
nitty gritty.
That shit's legal. Don't say nitty gritty.
I know I shouldn't have said it. It's a very sandy.
When you say that shit, it's legally binding. And so it's a good opportunity to like be very thorough in the things that you are going to need in the future. And so I said, when I play beach levels in games, you're going to have to watch the screen for me. Tell me when they're over while I tap the X button to go. And she said, all right. And then I promised that I had to taste all her chili for her to make sure it's not too spicy.
Did she that she struggles with too spicy chili?
It's just chili. It's weird.
Okay.
Anyway, going to the beach, huh? You excited?
Yeah, I'm impressed, first of all, with the restraint you've shown in not singing that Nicki Minaj line from Superstars that you do, or Star...
Superstars is the name of the song.
Superstarships.
I'm all about that boom, 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 Superstars.
It's perfect, because I feel like every time the word beach has come out of my mouth in previous episodes, you immediately have to, or in person, you immediately roll into
those classic
words.
I think it's like, I think it's just going to the beach tempered my excitement a little bit about
It's Nikki's not so funny anymore, is it? Now that you
it's
know
not funny anymore when you've got a lot of, when you're carrying grit.
Karen, that
when you're,
true
when,
grit.
You're, when you're lifting true grit, it's bad, dude. My friends are like, let's throw the frisbee, and it's like... I make noise when I walk, like my butt cheeks make a scratchy noise against each other.
It's sort of like a turntable scratching noise.
It is. I walk around and it sounds like an old, like I sound like Mixmaster Mike out there with these butt, these gritty cheeks.
GCs.
And there's nothing I can do about it. My child's asleep. I shouldn't be yelling, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Hmm. It's fun for you to whisper about your sandy cheeks.
There's nothing fun about it.
But it's fun for me because when you have to tone it down to keep the boy asleep, it kind of gives it like the world's like weirdest alternate universe NPR station vibe of you being like, there's nothing I can do about my sandy cheeks.
Should we do games?
Yeah, do pretend computer games.
I imagine all the suggestions we got this week are about those two new squids that everybody
fucking
wants to
better be
have sex
well,
because
that's the most important. First of all, Griffin, they're not both squids. Second
One's
of all,
an octoling. Okay, fine.
One is an octoling. One is a squidling. Second of all, nobody on Earth wants to have sex with Pearl. Let's just get that out of the way right now. There's okay. one good one and one bad one. Nintendo used all of their magic on one of the two characters. They doubled down and yeah. they made Marina the best video game character of all time, and then they made Pearl this just awful shit orb nightmare wow. forehead monster.
Kind of mean what you
said. I don't care for Pearl. She looks like she's a sort of a gremlin or a demon.
Okay.
And I don't think that's a controversial opinion. I think that's just facts.
I opened up Tumblr after that Nintendo Direct yesterday, yeah. and I don't get on that site very often, but when I did, it was like a wind machine had been turned. Like, I could actually feel there was physical force coming off of my monitor, like pushing my hair back and my cheeks back, and it actually loosened some of that grit, and so I was
good.
Yeah, but it was a real... People were having a real party on that site.
I can imagine. I wish I had logged in yesterday, because I'm sure it was a... And I feel like even, like, the thing about a Nintendo Direct is that they air at, like, 6:45 a.m. Yeah. on the Pacific Coast. And so I wake up, and I'm, like, 3 hours late, which in internet time is, like, 100,000 hours late. And I'm so excited about this character. And everyone's like, oh, her? Yeah, we've already drawn 18 gigabytes of pornography.
Yeah,
and
we're good.
The bell curve is, everyone's over it now. So
how about this one? And it's from Hella Lugosi, of course. Thank you, Hella. It's Seinfelder Scrolls. Let me try again. Seinfelder Scrolls.
I liked it more the first time when
me too.
Portmanteaued it.
So the classes: Kramer, George, Seinfeld, Julia Marie Dreyfus.
So we're gonna go by the actress's name for that, huh?
I didn't watch so much Seinfeld. I couldn't remember the name of her character.
It's Elaine.
Elaine. These,
you know, my dog is named after her.
You're kidding me.
Her name's Lainey. Our dog is named Lainey, named after Elaine from Seinfeld.
That's pretty good. Okay, so these are the classes. Right. Newman.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be a tough row to hoe for you.
It sure is.
You don't. I mean, if you need someone to do the heavy lifting, I can tell
different.
There could be a fun, maybe puffy shirt. Equipment that you
sort of work your way towards.
With Kramer, that's obvious. And then
you
I think
eat the junior mints for health or mana.
There could be some sort of thing about not jacking off that was very sort of revolutionary.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know they did. There's a whole episode of Seinfeld. It's really like impressive how they do it, where they do a whole episode where everybody has a don't jack off contest, but obviously they don't call it that, and so they use a lot of like non-verbal, like they communicate it in really subtle TV PG sort of primetime ways that it's really like an impressive tiptoeing of that line.
I don't know that I want to think about those beloved characters.
I don't want to think about any of them jerking off, except I think George, because I think that's sort of fun, and like I feel like he would do it in a funny way.
Yeah, like you'd fart halfway through.
He does have the best line in the episode when he storms into, or maybe it's Kramer, but I think he storms into Jerry's apartment. It's like a bet, and he storms into the apartment and slams $20 on Jerry's counter and goes, he throws his hands up in the air and he goes, "I'm out."
Oh.
Which tells the audience that he masturbated.
Did they show it?
The jerk off?
Yeah.
They censored it, but they censored everything except his penis. So it's like, it's just a mosaic of all around the screen, and all you can see is his dick. It's an interesting choice, but...
That's a fun show about nothing. What about the episode where his fiance dies and it's like a joke? You remember
that part? I don't remember that one.
Yeah, there's one where George has a fiance and she fucking dies, and it's like a funny joke, Seinfeld.
That's bananas.
It's bananas and accurate. Anyway, so this is one where these are the classes. One of the classes is these pretzels are making me thirsty.
That's great stuff.
Then
you
go out into the world and all the monsters are there. Soup Nazi and...
Mm-hmm. We could have a Frogger level.
Frogger machine is an enemy.
Is an enemy in the game. I think obviously Newman.
Newman's
would be an enemy also.
Newman
as well.
Is like the Dagon, like main sort of demon in the Oblivion realm.
Mm.
And so you have to go into his dark portals and fight him there in his postal service home.
Postman's portal. See, you do know a lot. You're doing a good job.
I guess I fucking do. Yeah. No.
Okay, we won't do that game. That won't be our game. What? about this one that I've got saved right here in my list. Deadsoft suggests Gulfenstein, a Tiger Woods-like golf game set in a post-World War II world where we lost.
This just sounds like a fucked up golf game, I guess. Or is you using the one of my favorite games that I've been thinking about a lot lately is our golf RPG, where you actually like explore the world by like driving balls around it and like looking for That was a Cool Games Inc. game. Yeah,
no memory of that, but that sounds tight.
Fucking hot game. That was the episode where I talked about Sveta, the Dark Cloud 2 minigame.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so like, I like the idea of golf balls as combat in a way. But this kind of sounds like it wants to be just like a regular golf game, but there's like big robo like
those Panzerhunds.
There's Panzerhunds and like, you know, airships in the background. And that doesn't, when I play golf, I go to like put my troubles in a little box for a while and go have a good walk spoiled. I don't go to like, you know, I don't want to confront, you know, fascism while I'm out there on the links.
Here's the thing. I do.
Oh, all right.
I think there's a way to like, because what Wolfenstein the New Order did, and if you haven't seen it, Griffin, me and Pat have a show called Wolfenstein is Good, where once a week we just get on a Google Hangout and talk about how good Wolfenstein is for like an hour.
Okay.
One of the things that game does really well is like, it's like a weirdly good stealth game. Like there's a whole, we haven't even talked about this on the show, there's a whole knife throwing mechanic that's fucking,
it's very good,
so satisfying. And I think there could be I'm working on a video right now that's just a compilation of every single knife throw I did in my most recent New Order playthrough, because some of them are some fucking, I pulled off some trick shots. And if I was instead doing that with golf balls, if like you roll up on the green, it's a par four, and you have to like be like, all right, how do I get from one end of this course to the other, but I also have to headshot all these Nazis with a golf ball on my way to the green.
There's something fun there. Yeah, definitely. I want to really just zing them with a good fucking shot. You know what I mean? And I want that like Hot Shots Golf rainbow text, like nice shot, Nazi down.
And you kind of hear a quiet "Mein Leben" as it hits him in the head.
Well, I don't want it to be funny.
You want it to be a really serious, grim, dark
Sniper
Wolfenstein.
Elite 3, like.
Skeletal cutaway
X-ray X skeleton explosion.
Okay, so it's starting to sound like, I mean, that's good, that's less work.
I don't
for
want
us.
Any of this though is the problem.
Okay,
I just want a fun fucking golf game. How about that Golf Story game that's coming out on Switch that looks like Stardew Valley Mario Golf? Hello.
I don't know about that. Did you play at E3? They had the new what's that PlayStation Golf series?
I did play it, yeah. Everybody plays golf. Yeah,
I love how
in
that demo you play as Shuhei Yoshida. Like, they're really leaning into that stuff, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to play the fuck out of that game. I don't know what to say. And that's what I want. I like these games. It's just a fun getaway. I don't want to have to, like, hunt down Nazis and stuff. Well, not there's then, any, it's just, you know?
Then don't play my game.
Well, don't play my fucking game.
Don't play my game. Do you have a game idea?
I do have one. It's from Byzantine Steve, who says, just explain what you think the rules to cricket are, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so this is easy. I know cricket really well. You got your womper. It's sort of it's the big flat sort of spanking board that they use.
Sure.
And you got to take that sort of the curling stone that they slide down home plate at you, and you got to scoop it up, and you got to flip it.
The stone,
you got to flip it every time. As you're running to first base, you got to keep flipping it like a pancake.
Like a hot pizza.
Yeah, on your spanking board, or else it's a double dribble. And then is there a stealing component? Remind me how that works.
Yeah, I mean, theft is a very important part to most sports. So you get out there and you steal. If you can hit the stone with your spanking board, and then another player catches it with their spanking board, it's a lot of hitting a rock with a big board and then hoping somebody else catches it and they don't get hurt in the exchange.
Now, how many players are there on each of the two cricketing teams? 1,200. So
yeah,
usually...
have you ever heard of like a club, like a footy club? That's in reference to the big, big team, and you can sort of cycle people out as you want. But on the field at any time, it's not all 1,200. It's usually about 800.
Right, that would be chaotic. 1,200 would be a bunch.
So it's 800 people, and they've all got these big boards, and it's sort of like a city-sized manhunt.
Interesting. Getting kind of a...
Let's start over. We've gotten too silly. So cricket is a game where you have... Obviously, it's a ball. I don't think it's a big stone puck. And there's wickets and...
Sticky wickets, right? Are a part of it?
this is not a joke. I thought that there were wickets.
I think maybe the points are called wickets. I'm not fucking with you.
Is that possible, though? Because it is called cricket, and that would be crazy. Yeah, that would be like if runs in baseball were called Jace balls.
Right. wicket.
Touchdown. That one's okay. Going to be worth 7 good balls. What?
I do think the thing is called a cricket bat. And it's I think it's like a flat baseball bat. Am I making that up? Or maybe it's short or flat? Which is
No, it's flat. It's flat. It's flat.
Okay. And then what does the cricket ball look like? Because I'm not fucking with you. It's really hard for me to not picture a golden snitch. And maybe that's...
It's not a golden snitch. Okay. Don't. You can't say that.
All right.
I feel like there's a wicket. Okay. And I feel like there's a pitcher, but they're probably called something else.
Mm-hmm.
And they toss the ball. And then the one person has to hit it. And are they trying to hit it through the wicket? What are they doing out there?
Man, I almost said in a lot of confidence that there are huge goalposts with circles at the top. But again, that is just Quidditch.
You can't keep saying these things, Nick.
It's so hard for me to not think of cricket as Quidditch. It's like really... Because the amount of time in my life I've spent reading about and looking at Quidditch far outstrips the amount of time I've spent looking at and thinking about cricket by a factor of 10 trillion. So what do you want me to do, Griffin, basically is what I'm asking.
Man, I just googled the Wikipedia page and the fucking diagram I'm looking at here is so... It's overwrought. There's 12 data points on this and one of them is ball. Yeah, I know which one the fucking ball is.
That's not the hard part. That's not where we're stuck.
Do you think... Of the two batsmen, 3 and 8 wearing yellow.
Batsmen?
Oh, I can't.
Did you make that up? Batsmen?
No. Nah, bud. Enough sports games. What are we?
Yeah, what's going on?
Fucking Peter, a couple of Peter Moores up here.
What about this one from K-Pax? You are a skeleton and you have to find more bones to add to your body in order to develop new abilities.
Oh, man. I tell you, this is great, right? Great. Great idea. Yes. I like this, like, Armored Core style building a bone suit, right? That's all very cool, and we could do a lot with that.
And by the way, bone suit is a cool name. Just bone put a pin in that.
Where I'm struggling, there's the 3 words in here that I'm struggling with, and they are, find more bones.
Yes, because I don't want the game to deteriorate into archaeology.
Well.
Or murder.
Yes. I'm glad that that's you got there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. Oh man,
it's because I think the same parts of this are appealing to you and me, right? Like it's this sort of Banjo-Kazooie nuts and bolts, but for your being, for your form, and also to make it a skeleton, sort of strips it of a lot of its gorier aspects and makes it this sort of. It sterilizes it, gives it kind of a Halloween vibe, right? But how do we get those bones in a way that's not killing?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
You could go to a museum.
Now that's fun. Night at the Museum 5, The Bone Collector. I've been waiting for those two movies.
The Bone Collector. I actually don't think that there's a children's movie franchise that doesn't immediately get ominous when you put the subtitle The Bone Collector on it.
Well, first of all, Night at the Museum had a lot to offer to adults as well.
I fucking hate that movie. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I don't care for the film.
Wow.
Not a good film.
Bone Collector is a real movie with Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie.
And if you were to append it to maybe say Cars 4, The Bone Collector, do you see how it changes the...
Now that, what is Toe Mater, but a bone collector of...
Other bones.
Cars. So car bones is just parts. So you get a second rib cage and you get a double jump. All right, next suggestion.
No, why would that be? I think we should spend at least another 30 seconds talking about the abilities that you, because it's just so like,
you go to
the pterodactyl exhibit, you throw some wings on you, and you can fly out the roof of the museum. That's a level right there. You can, what are some other good bones? You know the show Good Bones?
Yeah.
On like HGTV or FYI?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the show Bones with David Boreanaz, but nobody was watching it, so they changed the title to Good Bones.
Good Bones.
Were like, oh, now you've got my attention.
It's kind of like how they reformulated it.
Nobody was really watching House. Then they changed it to Good House, and people were like, it's good. Oh, yes.
And then there was that show Wife that wasn't doing really well, and then they changed it to The Good Wife. And
oh, Nicholas, you make me so proud.
Let's see here. Blandy Blau suggests DDR Go, like Pokemon Go, but you have to you have to have dance offs to gain control of dance gyms. There are special dance zones in high risk areas for extra points.
Well, first of all, I'm going to absolutely destroy my phone.
You're not going to dance on top of your phone. Let's make that clear. There's going to be a Bluetooth dongle.
Yesterday while we were recording Let's Go to Hell, I broke my phone.
I cut that moment out because it was funny, but
it was funny, but it dropped. It felt like one fucking foot and landed on the corner. Now the corner's shattered. First time I've ever broken a phone. I'm fucking heartbroken. It's
That's your new Galaxy
S8 Plus. Yeah.
Damn, bro.
I got that insurance, but still, it's very sad.
That is a sad feeling. I haven't been there. I'm like very anti putting a case on my phone.
See, I was too, because this thing's a fucking sexy old thing. But
right, it's the Marina. I'm sorry, I'm still learning this new Splatoon character names.
Phones. Yeah.
I won't put a case on my phone, but I did break my own rule recently. I was like going through my luggage. It's always bugged the shit out of me that after the iPhone like 5 and 5S, there's no more flat edges on the iPhone, and so you can't set it down to like take a nice photo of something anymore. And I was going through my E3 luggage, and I found one of those fucking, it's called a pop socket, and it's this goofy, kind of janky, like rubber plastic. Basically, somebody took like one of those little squishy suction cups that you put on like your shower wall and put on the back
and you
of
put
your
it on
phone.
The back of your phone. Yeah, I see. Lots of kids have this, and I don't fucking understand what
it
is.
It's kind of tight because like I can use it to stand my phone up, so if I want to watch something on like a plane or like it's just this really inelegant, ugly one. And to make matters worse, the one that is on the back of my phone is one that I got handed as I was running out of an Ubisoft E3 appointment, and it has that horrible like Princess Peach dressed up rabbit on it with her little cell phone. And so I've got this lovely, beautiful iPhone 7 Plus.
With arguably the worst possible attachment on it.
Yeah, it's really just, it is a function over form thing that is a sacrifice I've never in my life made before. What were we, DDR Go?
Not going to dance in public. That's for my wife only.
There's a lot of shit that I said I wasn't going to do in public before Pokemon Go came out. And look at me now.
I thought about picking that back up on my new phone, but the thought of going around and catching a million Pidgeys again really didn't do it for me.
It's brutal. And also, like, I remember like talking to Allegra at E3, and she had gone to check out the new like gym stuff, and she's like, combat still sucks. And I'm like,
yeah,
cool,
no thanks.
Still don't fuck with Pokemon Go then. Great. They have all the money in the world. They've got infinite fucking resources, literally, and they can't make a good fucking video game to...
Just take the good parts from the franchise that already exists and give me that. Fine, whatever.
My understanding is that like there was pushback from the Pokemon company maybe or something that like they can't put real Pokemon combat in it, which I can see how that conversation would go. So
how about this one from Wonderbutt? Are you playing with that fucking Peach Rabbids thing? Yeah.
No.
Oh god. How about this one from Wonderbutt? A civilization-style strategy game with a robust diplomacy system, but featuring dating sim elements. Other leaders can be charmed or romanced, but can also become spurned, jealous, etc. What's up, Genghis? Genghis. Looking good.
Kiss Genghis.
Hey, Genghis, you working out? Because you're looking real good over there.
So are you imagining that like when you pop up that civilization diplomacy menu, instead of showing you like you can trade wood or fucking played Civilization, but like having like dialogue options in there as well.
I think you think Civilization is actually Catan based on what you
I was actually saying. I'm trying to just like everything I know about Age of Empires, I'm just kind of trying to pigeonhole into this. But I'm imagining though that like there are just straight up visual novel like dialogue options, but with this whole added layer of like the lives of millions hang in the balance, you know, based on what you say and do and whether you smooch them right or give them a good compliment.
Yeah, so you like Montezuma is like, I'd love to open up a trade route for you, and in exchange I can give you luxuries. I have citrus and gemstones, and in exchange you give me open borders and pull your scouts out of my territories. And you say, that sounds very agreeable, and maybe later on we can work together on, a war against...
Albert Einstein? Is he in the game?
Albert Einstein, no. Against Teddy Roosevelt.
That's who I was thinking of.
Also, what does that dick do, Montezuma?
Oh yeah, what's that? How's that dick swaying?
Is my question. Yes, the open borders, definitely. And I would love to exchange luxuries. I noticed that you have fine silks, and those are definitely in demand in my trading ports. But
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'd also love to just huff that butt.
Oh, just whiff that butt up.
So what do you say about that? Can we date? This is a very... sort of aggressive dating tactic.
I think in any sort of tactical strategy game, any sort of hex-based, grid-based game, there's going to be a lot of approaches that different players take, and they're all varying degrees of effective on varying world leaders, I'm sure, right?
So, and maybe, like, the different win conditions, you can do a cultural pickup. Like, do you want to go to see Shakespeare and then later go fucking make out? In the theater.
Would you say go fucking make out or fuck and make out?
Yeah, whichever one you want.
Depends on who you're talking to. Is it Albert Einstein or is it who's another guy? I don't know like a lot about the world.
You sure don't, do you?
I know who Albert Einstein is.
He's definitely not a world. Yeah,
He was president of science.
So you could do a scientific one where it's like, hey, fucking Cleopatra, look at my new flasks. Do you want to kiss me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the way that I can get the chemicals going in this flask? And it's burning up.
I want it to be like
a kiss.
I think every time you do this, though, like it should feel like a big like it's a gambit. Like if this shit goes wrong.
Yeah, because they could also, like,
they could be
we
insulted.
Could get into some shit. So, like, yeah. I swing over to France talking to Catherine de' Medici, and I'm like, hey, I'm going for a religious victory, so I'd love to read from you this good book. And also, I would love to take you to a movie sometime. And then she's like, that sounds good. And she comes over to my house. We're watching a movie. She's spying on all my stuff.
Oh, that's no good.
She knows where all my guys are. She knows what all my plans are. She knows that I'm trying to learn how to make boats. And all of a sudden, she's going to come after me and get me.
She knows your weaknesses now.
I'm really into this idea, and I really wish you'd played any Civilization game once or even knew anything about the world at all.
I tried to play, like, Civ 4 on a MacBook, and it just shut down.
Yeah, imagine that. I like the idea of a dating game, plus maybe the people you're dating are, if you break up with them bad, they're going to send their, you know, troops or missionaries or scientists after you.
I think I have a pretty good title for this, if you're ready to hear it.
Yeah, sure.
How about Business and Pleasure?
It's good. It's good. Yeah.
Okay, you don't sound that excited.
No, I like it.
It sounds like you're kind of humoring me a little bit. You just think it's okay. If you think it's just okay, you can say that.
Why don't we come back to this one, maybe?
Here's a submission from Citrus. It's a photo submission. And it's sort of a four-step process.
Oh, my God.
It's sort of what appears to be some sort of very futuristic black mesh object. And the four steps are take. So you've got this sort of black mesh grid.
I'm glad they included this step, by the way, because I didn't.
Take. Every consumer good ever in the history of time has included the step take. That's just part of it. Unfold. So you sort of unfold this thing into like a big flat. Sort
it's
of
like
octagon.
A hexagon. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That is a hexagon. Six sides. And then step three is urinate. And they
you
show
piss
the
right. You piss right on the hexagon.
A big splash appears on the hexagon. And then the final step is harvest. And it shows what appears to be some sort of wheat growing out of the hexagon.
Well, a bad wheat PNG.
Somebody stole like a wheat asset from like a early World War II shooter. And dragged and dropped it.
Now, the name of this project, I guess, is called Rise, Moving Forward, which I suppose is the sequel to Crytek's Rise, Son of Rome.
Mm.
Only in this one, instead of brutal, visceral, really fucking boring looking, you know, like
gladiator
combat.
Yeah.
You piss on his shape and grain comes out.
You piss on his shape.
You piss right on this shape. And grain's going to come right out of it. and then you harvest it. And I mean, I love farming games, right? They're some of my favorite shit. Mm-hmm. Games like the Harvest Moon games they made 15 years ago and Stardew Valley and literally none others. I'd be willing to give a shot. I keep buying these fucking Story of Seasons games, and I play them for 30 minutes, and I'm like, oh, that's right, these are awful. So, like, I would probably, if you say new farming game, I'd probably buy it before I realize it's a hexagon pissing simulator.
Do you, so this whole element of pissing on a hexagon, which I do think peeing on shapes is the core mechanic here, I wonder almost if there's an opportunity to recapture the magic of, like, do you remember those Magic Grow capsules where you take the little pill and you put it in some water?
Oh, and it's a dinosaur.
Turns into a dinosaur. This could be a fun thing. So it's sort of recapturing that for adults where you piss on a triangle and you don't know what it's going to become. And maybe it becomes some tomatoes. Or maybe
that could be fun. So this is this is not a game, it sounds like, anymore, though.
No, it's sort of like a post-apocalyptic survival tool with a sort of a fun gacha mechanic.
What? I wonder what's in my Wonder Ball when I pee on it. What vegetable do you think is going to come out of your shape, Nick, when you piss right on it in the post-apocalypse?
I mean, I think each shape has up to 10 unique vegetables or fruits or just anything can come from it. And there could be a fun Birdie Bots every flavor bean situation where, like, oh man, I was hoping to get some carrots for my family, but I got a bunch of sort of weed. Dickweed. Is that a plant?
Yeah, dickweed. Dillweed is a...
Dickweed.
Yeah.
It's either a plant or a producer on Law & Order. I'm trying to think of also, like, would there be a benefit to us randomizing this? Because obviously the consumer...
What the fuck are we talking about? We're talking about a literal shape that you piss on in real life and then a vegetable comes out of it.
Right.
We're so far outside of our fucking jurisdiction.
I think
somebody's going to call the DOJ on us and, like, get us, like, arraigned.
Like, I guess I feel like if the world ends, when the world ends, game developers are going to need to pivot, and I want us to have a battle plan for that. And so we're going to pivot to piss shapes.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? We're Ubisoft Montpelier. Here's our new shape. Piss right on it. You need this.
I mean, And then I also think, like, we could do that thing of, like, the whole reason people sell those sort of, like, you know, like, food crates and randomized packs of Yu-Gi-Oh cards and shit is because it allows you to, in bulk, get rid of a bunch of shitty, worthless ones. And I think by randomizing it, we can, like, pepper in a bunch of filler seeds that people don't want.
Oh, yeah, like, it's rhubarb.
Right.
Rhubarb. What the fuck am I going to do with that?
Not shit.
Hey, how about this one from K-Pax? Great.
Nice. It's a man after your own heart in terms of eating bananas wrong.
Scout Camp Defense Force. You're a boy-girl scout at a summer camp that has suddenly been a hostile takeover by greedy land developers who are ready to bulldoze anything and anyone who stands in their way. Okay. Use your knowledge of living off the land, knots and lashings, archery, riflery. Riflery seems like bad.
Yeah, what kind of camp?
Yeah, I know. Astronomy, animal handling, guerrilla tactics, leadership, and community service, and all the other merit badges to mobilize you and your fellow scouts to defend your camp from these ruthless invaders. We're talking about a sort of Camp Nowhere heavyweights, you know, action RPG.
Right.
With merit badge development tools.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on the camp, and I think we had... I like the idea of merit badges as... skills. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the skill tree, and so you have knots, and maybe with knots you can learn how to make nets, and you can use those to grab up the land company people that are coming after the land.
Almost like a modern Tomb Raider vibe to this combat, I'm imagining. Is it what's your feel for the tone here? Is it hygiene?
That's what, like, I'm struggling with.
Is it like a man in a business suit just getting all tangled up in a net while the kids laugh? And he's like, oh, I'll get you, kids. Or is it just like getting on the zip line, jumping off and doing a slow motion bow and arrow takedown on these fucking suits?
That's like, the problem. So have you seen the movie Heavyweights? Of course not. So in it, this camp turns against Ben Stiller, whose character buys the camp and turns it to an unhealthy, like, workout camp. And so they try to turn on him. And the way they do that is they catch him in, like, a big pit. And then they just, lock him in a cage that they've electrified.
Jesus Christ.
At that point...
Is this a horror movie?
Well, no. At that point, you've just imprisoned him. You just have a man. And that's the thing that keep coming up. You're playing as a kid, and you have, like, an archery skill, right? And so you shoot, like, I don't know, a stink arrow at a big businessman, mm-hmm. and it makes him smell. He smells it so bad, and he's knocked out.
Yeah, his eyes get X's over them, and some stars are floating around his head.
Because he smelled such a bad stink from your stink arrow. You got with you from your merit badge. Now what?
And what do you do with that man?
What do you do with the man is the question, the next step. It's what I'm struggling with right now.
Because that's a temporary fix. Knocking out a businessman with a stink bomb in the short term is going to maybe buy you 25 minutes of keeping your camp open. If you want to keep this camp open, you're going to have to... And maybe the game starts with more of like a chill heavyweights vibe and then maybe builds its way towards... So you have to make some like fucked up decisions about how far are you willing to go to keep your favorite summer camp open?
I mean, here's the only thing I can think. What if the troop leader is Harvey Keitel's character in Pulp Fiction, sort of a cleaner sort? So you knock out the big businessman with your stink arrow, and a couple of the other kids like trip him with a rope that they tied knots in, and you use your teamwork and you do a great job and you save the camp from the businessman, and it's like, yay, but this businessman's just knocked out on the forest floor. All of a sudden, fucking Harvey Keitel walks
rolls up in, like, a nice suit, and is like, well, everyone nice turns suit. A blind eye, I guess.
You boys go back to swimming in the pool, I'll take care of this. Mm-hmm. And then we don't see what happens.
That seems like a good solution.
But the businessman is gone.
He's taken care of.
Have to worry about
it. And now that we're saying all this out loud, I think that's maybe the reason a lot of cartoons and stuff, they don't address this. They just sort of, the character gets knocked out and then the good guys win. And there's no cleaner type man to come in and finish off the body. I think we may actually inadvertently be calling more attention to this, almost like in Tomb Raider, when like you kill someone for the first time and Lara Croft freaks out for like 3.5 minutes and then proceeds to kill 800,000 people with no remorse. I think by calling attention to it, we may in fact be magnifying the dissonance there.
If memory serves, Heavyweights didn't have a great out for this either, because he does escape from his electric prison during parent visit day, and then he's like shit talking the main kid, and then the kid's dad, who I believe was Jeffrey Tambor, just punches him in the face and everybody cheers. And it's like, okay, but still gonna have to deal with this.
Yeah,
though.
Jeffrey Tambor is gonna get charged with a punching crime. Ben Stiller still owns the camp, right?
Still's got the camp. Actually, you know what? Ben Stiller's character's dad, who actually owns the camp, who is also played by Ben Stiller, which is weird because Ben Stiller also has a dad who's in the movie, who I don't think plays Ben Stiller's character's dad.
I'm also not convinced. I love Ben Stiller to death. I don't know that he has the range for any sort of even light Nutty Professor play.
He plays his own dad, despite the fact that Jerry Stiller is in the movie as a different character who is not Ben Stiller's character's dad. How fucked up is that? Jerry, hey, Ben, you're going to let me play your dad in this one, right? No, I'm going to play my own dad. Dad, you're going to have to play a different part.
That's, yeah, I'm imagining that's how it went down, though, with, like, Ben Stiller insisting. I remember once I went to... There's going to be spoilers for Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, so if you somehow didn't see that in the past 6 years, jump ahead 40 seconds. But I remember seeing that movie with my dad, and this is maybe literally, like, in 10 years, the only argument I've gotten in with my dad, where we saw the movie, and very quickly in that movie, there's a big twist, and every major leader at MI whatever gets, like, killed off. And now Tom Cruise is in charge. And my dad was like, Tom Cruise is an executive producer on that movie. You know he made them do that. And I'm like, no, they did.
What are you talking about?
I don't think Tom Cruise is like that petty. Weird dude probably. But he's not like, and now make it so I'm in charge of the movie.
I want to be number one Mission Impossible man.
Like, that's not how Tom Cruise operates. And so I did have to go to bat for Tom's honor with my father.
Let me hit you with this one from Lurking for Life, who says, an online multiplayer puzzle game where the only way to communicate with other players is to speak your own username Pokemon style. Solve complicated puzzles together while people frantically yell their username at you as they think they know the solution, but just have to watch in frustration.
So most of your expression then is going to be done through capitalization, punctuation, and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's just like, you walk up and there's a cube. There's a different color on each side of the cube. And then there's a door that has four colors on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so these four players spawn in and walk over to the cube. And the cube starts spinning and it's producing a humming sound. And then all you hear is just like, Fat Blunt's 420. XX Fat Blunt's 420 XX. XX Fat Blunt's 420 XX. And then it's like, Doom Reaper. Doom Reaper.
This is cute. Yeah. So, like, let's say the Fat Blunts has figured out that there's a pattern
right.
that he wants to them to hit it in, and it goes like 1, 3, 2, 4. He could go like XX Fat Blunts 420 XX, XX Fat Blunts 420 XX.
Right, right.
And then, like,
right.
just sort of oscillate like XX Fat Blunts.
And then like, you hear like, but then there's some, you know, somebody's going to not cooperate, and they're just going to be like, Regis Philbin's dick bone. Regis Philbin's dick phone. And it's like, the whole time, and now I'm distracted because it's like, why would
why Regis
Steam allow, first of all, that's
first
a
of all,
wild,
why would Steam allow an apostrophe for a possessive most username?
It could be plural. It could be plural. It could be plural.
Regis Philbin's. So maybe it's a different man named Regis Philbin's. And it's
Philbin's is his middle name, Dick Bone's his last name. Calm down.
Regis Philbin's dick bone.
You shouldn't use your whole name as your Steam ID.
No.
But I think, but then you could outsmart it and you could just be like, hit red first, then blue, yellow, green. Hit red first, then blue, yellow, green. Because you know right. that that's the puzzle. And so you change your Steam name to that.
That only really works for one puzzle though, huh? We got to work something into this to factor that in. But this is a cool, I would be worried about players, crafty players, using the fact that we give them punctuation to sort of use periods and hyphens to Morse code their way through the game. That's bullshit.
Hate that.
That's not allowed.
Everybody's always looking for a way to just crack the game.
They're looking for the easy out. I think we also need to make it so like it's a PUBG situation where you're matched with randos, right? It can't be like your friends who you can get on Skype with or Discord or whatever. Like it needs to be, the challenge needs to be in communicating using just your own name.
That's a solid
idea. I don't know that it's our big Bertha, our big baby.
I don't know that we have that yet.
What if I sent you a screenshot from the Game Boy Advance Fire Emblem game that was submitted to us by Koopa Kirby, and I just want you to read this to me and tell me what you think.
All right, let's read this out loud to Nick. So it looks like there's a blue hair character. And they're talking to a sort of burlier red-haired character, and this first character is saying, "So, Dorcas, have you scrounged?"
And even though there's no question mark, my brain definitely inflected this as, "So, Dorcas, have you scrounged?" Which I like a lot.
Okay, that's nothing, though. What about, maybe we go back to our dating sim civilization game.
I guess so. It's the most fleshed out, you know?
It certainly is. I mean, it's just, I'm going through, and I'm just, I mean, Jiro Dreams of Yoshi by Leech Just.
That's fucked up, because that does imply sort of
a carving of the dinosaur.
The carving of the Yoshi. The carving of that shrew. Do you think, this is gross. Sam B, who usually produces certified slappers, is suggesting that we make a game about using HD Rumble to try and figure out what kind of gross bug is inside your Joy-Con. Maybe there's a few different ones in there. Gross.
Why?
Like, yeah, that's gross. Oh, here's a fun, but I know like you and I were both heavily invested in this sort of HD Rumble revolution, which by the way would be a good name. Rumble Revolution HD sounds like a wrestling game or something. That could be fun. But I think HD Rumble is, it didn't catch the world on fire, maybe, but I really love it a lot when it gets used. Have you been feeling any in any of your Switch experiences?
Oh. No, it's just fucking Rumble.
No, it's not, dude.
God, I'm so sick of hearing about fucking HD Rumble. It is the biggest snake oil. It's
no.
just rumbling around. It just moves the controller around.
No, it's like you're there.
Okay.
At Anime Expo, I ran into James Montagna, who is a game director at Way Forward. He like directed Shantae, Half Genie Hero, and a bunch of games like that. And we were talking about the Switch version of that game specifically. And he said that what they did was they actually took sound effects, like the sound files from the game and like ran them through the Switch HD rumble motors to like give the vibration to make it like line up with the explosion sound effects and stuff, and it's like actually got stereo rumble, which I don't know, I thought it was really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Here's one from K-Pax. Tony Baloney's one trick pony. Play as infamous pony trainer Tony Baloney as you teach ponies how to do tricks. But you don't start with a trick and try to teach it to a pony. Like a sculptor excavating the shape that was inside the marble slab, you have to work with the pony to find the trick that was inside of them all along. Tricks get increasingly more complex as the game goes on. Start with something easy, like teaching a pony to dab. You know, something easy.
Yeah, something easy. Get its arms to bend in a way that God never intended.
And work your way up to more difficult tricks, like teaching a pony how to count cards while playing blackjack. I mean, it sounds like the main interaction in this game is just sort of dialogue, as you sort of talk to a pony and be like,
"Yeah,
who are you?
It's sort of
what
like
are
a,
you?
A unlicensed Hey You Pikachu vibe.
Yeah. Well, you got to get the pony to trust you by giving it snacks, oats, hay, barley.
Baloney.
I mean, Baloney's going to refresh on a 1 hour timer because it's too much. It's too much. Or you can spend micro bucks or whatever to get infinite baloney. And then once the horse is like warmed up to you, he's like, he'll come around and he'll, you know, lick your hand. I don't know how you get from there to teaching the horse that it's known how to dab its whole life.
Well, there's something I've always admired about the Call of Duty arc, which is when a new Call of Duty comes out, like Infinite Warfare or whatever the fuck, all the multiplayer maps are these very serious, grim, in-universe, dark, post-cyber future warfighter shits. And over time, like maybe here and there, they'll sprinkle in a little downloadable weed leaf avatar, or maybe they'll have a Snoop Dogg voice pack, or they'll add like a level where you're playing inside of a giant like kitchen or something, right? And I think there could be a fun arc to this game of like, the normal game is this very gratifying, earnest, grounded horse love experience. And then when you hit your ascension, you know, when you like new game plus on it, what do they call in Call of Duty? Prestige?
When you prestige
your horse training, then we let you get a little silly with it, and you can make your horse dab, and you can sort of make it do a Gangnam Style. All of these are premium transactions, but they allow you to kind of, you've already built up a connection to this horse, now it's time to have a little bit of fun with the horse, I think.
Yeah, I really just want to take Queen Elizabeth to Applebee's. I think that's where my headspace is at right now.
And is that because you think a horse likes apples?
No, I'm off the horse thing. I'm just thinking about dating Queen Elizabeth.
See,
and taking
I forgot about the dating thing, and I thought that you had a horse in this fiction named Queen Elizabeth, and you were taking her to Applebee's to eat.
No, I'm just thinking about there's like a level where you have to take Queen Elizabeth to Applebee's.
Like on a date.
Yes.
And see, that would be an example, in my estimation, of a misjudgment. Like when you give like the dead or alive extreme beach volleyball character the wrong gift and you kind of embitter them to you. I think Queen Elizabeth, Applebee's, the whole experience, the vibe might not resonate with
now
her
check,
temperament.
Check this out, though. You take Napoleon to a fucking water park. Now
he would love that. He could take his big hat and sit in it upside down like a little boat and slide around.
And we take him to an ice cream place, give him the Ziggy Piggy. And then he's like in love with us. God, Nick, watch one movie. Watch any movie. I'm gonna start mailing you fucking DVD
fuck
discs.
Is Ziggy Pig. I think we're probably reaching a crossover threshold where more of my audience like
hasn't seen Bill and fucking Ted's fucking excellent.
No, because fucking anyone who's born in the 90s has no reason to have ever seen Bill and Ted.
I watched that movie. This is not a joke in high school in a history class.
Ooh,
what's up?
It is historical.
It sure is.
I have to mention that it's fucked up that you wouldn't give. Is there a Neapolitan ice cream joke? Is that what's?
No, they just eat. I don't think that plays into it.
Okay, well it should, because our guys, we do a Napoleon bit on this show.
Yeah, it's the same. I think that we can do a lot with like finding the right dates for the right world leaders. Like, what the fuck is George Washington even into? It's tough, right? Like, I don't think we don't hear much about like him as a lover.
No, it doesn't.
So like, what's he into? What can we do to show him a good time? And then how can we leverage that into a victory? And the real question is, you know, your lover, fucking Oda Nobunaga, is about to get that cultural victory in like two turns, and your lovers Now you got to confront that. Do I fucking like team up with somebody else now to take him down and go for a military victory? Because I know he's got weak borders, but he's got rich culture inside of those borders. Because I don't want to. I love him. I don't want to lose though.
Right.
Mm.
This is it. There can be only one winner.
That's true. That's how Civ works. I also think like there's really great opportunities for like the same way that in a game of Civ, your relationships, from what I've heard, ebb and flow a lot over the course of the game, to be able to mirror that romantically.
That's what I'm saying.
To have someone come back at the 11th hour and be like, to have Napoleon come back and be like, Griffin, I always loved you. You were the only one for me. And then you having to judge in this crucial military moment whether he's being earnest with you or whether he's sort of seducing you, right? Like that's
like it's tough because there's going to be real life stuff in the mix too,
right?
Right? Like Nebuchadnezzar, it's my 2D husband.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just. And he's about to get the religious victory.
I will say that, like, to that point, they're doing this weekend a Splatoon 2 sort of pre-release Splatfest where everyone gets to play Splatoon 2 a little bit early and everyone has to choose between which is better, cake or ice cream. And obviously cake is the better answer,
right.
But I found myself voting ice cream because ice cream is what Marino wants. That's what she made the case for. And I'm like... I'm voting against my own best interests because my octopus wife is telling me to pick ice cream. And
tough.
It feels like a beautiful analogy, though, for like the sorts of conundrums we want to put you in as a player in our upcoming video game business and pleasure.
Can our game this time just be Marina and then little indie episode?
I guess. You're not feeling business and pleasure anymore?
Business and pleasure is good, but... Can Marina be one of the world leaders?
I will say,
an ocean army led by Marina.
From an SEO perspective, this exact week in human history, the word Marina is popping off in such a major way that it's like we would be fools not to put her name in television.
Business and pleasure, a 4X, a demanding 4X strategy game featuring Marina.
Mm-hmm. She's going to be broken. She's the most powerful fictional character in all of human history, and like when you put her next to these shithead world leaders, it's like she wins.
She's gonna win. Also, that multiplayer demo's next week. You just got me so fucking excited for no reason. Goes July 15th.
Ah, fuck. Well, if you want to download and run around their fake Miiverse and see people like do drawings and stuff, it's possible now. So,
is the Squidlings just Bratz dolls? If you think about it,
shut, Griffin. No.
All right.
No. Don't you dare.
Thanks for listening to Cool Games Inc. for the last time. I've been Griffin.
I'm also Griffin, but my name's Nick.
So he's just a different Griffin if you think about it. Thanks for listening, and I forget what we did this time. I'm still fucking totally Sudafed faded, man.
I like that, though. It's you sort of cross.
I don't, because it's been like a month, and I'm ready for cognizance and lucidity to return to my fucking body.
That sounds nice. Also, by the way, we just uploaded a new episode of our bi-weekly series, Let's Go to Hell, this time featuring Super Mario Galaxy. And boy, howdy, do we do some fucked up stuff inside of Mario's teeth and his grill and his whole head.
He's got teeth in this one, and it sucks. Go check out all the videos that we make at Polygon's YouTube channel. Awful Squad was really fun this week. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem, fine.